Good evening, one and all. Nice to see all these nice smiling faces. And a few downtrodden frowns, you know, that's nice to have Mark and his family with him here tonight. Welcome, visitors. I'll go through this again this morning. Mark's from currently the full-time preacher at Norville Park, raised in Fairmont, West Virginia. Been in the ministry for almost 30 years with churches in Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. While being a full-time minister, he also serves as an adjunct Bible instructor at former Ohio Valley University in Parkersburg for 13 years. During this time, he also worked with the Ohio Valley Christian Youth Group and currently works with West Virginia Christian Youth Camp in various roles. He's been married for 26 years to the former Laura Keplinger, has two daughters, Belinda and Samantha. Anything anybody needs announced right away? One question, does anyone need communion tonight? Okay. Looks like a no, Mark. Brother Tom.
Good to see everyone tonight. If you will, turn your psalm books to 217. 217.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to come together here today again on this beautiful Sunday to sing these songs unto you and to continue our studies with Brother Mark. Please be with us as we hear the lesson from him today, that we're able to take it to continue to grow as Christians, apply it to our lives, that we're able to grow as Christians and reach others and help the church grow. Lord, please be with us as we go out our lesson today and throughout the rest of the remaining lessons, and all these things we ask you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Pew Bible, that is 1684. 1684. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin.
If you will, mark your songbooks 561, be our invitation. After this song, we'll turn it over to Mark. 196. Mark's going to speak on words tonight. And it reminds me in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, I believe. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Who could ever make up them words but our God? 196, please.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. Heal our soul's diseases. No.
Of you tonight. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate representatives from Norwell Park. Gordon and Selena are our members there. Gordon's one of our elders, and they are glutton for punishment because they just heard me. I just came from Norwell Park. I preached there. Our services are at 5, and then I'm here. So I made it, and it's a good opportunity to be with you. Appreciate the invitation. Appreciate the kind words, and I was... I have to say this, I was, in coming down here, the lady said, is this going to be the same sermon as we just heard? And I said, no, actually not. So just for reference, the Bible class, I preach tonight, and so this is all new. And by the way, it's a new sermon for everyone. Tonight's a new sermon just for New Lex. And so my wife's not even heard this one, and that's amazing. You know, she really loves me, and I knew that because when we started dating, I would preach at different congregations, just different ones that needed a preacher, and I don't know, there's one sermon 10, maybe 20 times, and she still married me. And so it's hard enough to find somebody who wants to marry a preacher, and then she heard the same sermon, I don't know, and she had it memorized, so I bet she probably still has it memorized, and yeah, she does, so... And so after 26 years, she's still with me. So she's to be commended, and appreciate her being with me. Appreciate you being here. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we ask your blessing upon this congregation, our service, and we pray that our time together will be a blessing and beneficial to our spiritual well-being, and that we can draw closer to you tonight. Father, we thank you for this gospel effort. We thank you for the New Lexington congregation and pray you bless them and help them as they minister and proclaim your word in this area. We pray that you help us to grow, help your church, not only in this area, but in this region and in this world, to expand and be able to be a light in this dark world, to be salt. May we make a difference for the cause of Christ. Father, we pray that as we think about how to use our words tonight, that we will be better speakers, better talkers, make better use of how we use our words to be a blessing to one another. We thank you for the avenue of prayer. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for his death, burial, and resurrection. In your son's name we pray. Amen. What would we be without words? We use our words. I mean, we can't live without them, can we? Words are used to talk to our families. Words are used to talk to our places of work. Tonight, we communicated with words. And even if maybe there are some who are unable to use their words audibly, we have these little devices that we can type words in and maybe text, email. There's all kinds of ways we use words. They're important. But it's also important how we use our words. I want to begin with a story tonight about a gentleman. He was about 40-some years old, and he became ill in the middle of the night. His wife called the rescue squad to rush him to the hospital, and when the wife was allowed to see him in the hospital room, he was hooked up all these tubes and machines, and instead of being happy to see her, he berated her by saying, "If it wasn't for you and your big mouth, I would not be in this shape." Those were the last words he spoke. Words. Do you think they have power? Words. How do we use our words? My guess is that gentleman, if you call him that, that wasn't the first time he used his words in a negative way. Too many times we often use our words in a negative way to our spouse, maybe to our children, parents, maybe even close friends. Researchers have told us and studied this, and I've seen a different research on this, but research tells us that our memory and the way our brains work, we need to hear 11 positive statements to counterbalance the negative statements. I've heard that used a different way, but the point, different numbers, but the point is we need a whole lot of good versus the bad we hear. And what do we often hear? We often hear the bad. You know, the Bible, as God's inspired word, he teaches us through his word how not only just to live better, how to have salvation, but because we are followers of him, there's a better way to use our words. There's a better way to speak to one another, to talk with one another, and it's connected to our faith. When you think about how to use our words, just look at the study and the life of Jesus Christ. Notice how he used his words. Tonight, I want us to look at three ways that we can use our words in a positive way. If you're taking notes, you can see it on the screen, and you can see my outline. You can follow along there. You can open your Bible. I'm going to be using a number of different verses tonight. So maybe your fingers will get an exercise if you are following along, or you can take notes. I encourage you to do either or both. But tonight, number one, how do we use our words in a positive way? Number one, appreciate one another. Appreciate one another. It didn't sound like in that story I shared about the man in the hospital that he appreciated his wife too much. I think we'd all agree with that. But the Bible reminds us to appreciate one another. Zig Ziglar told the story of a New York businessman who dropped a dollar into the cup of a man selling pencils. And Hurley stepped aboard the subway train. On the second thought, he stepped back off the train, walked over to the beggar, and told took several pencils from the cup. Apologizing, he explained that he is in the haste and he had neglected to pick up his pencils and hoped the man wouldn't be upset with him. After all, he said, you are a businessman just like myself. You have merchandise to sell and it's fairly priced. Then he caught the next train, and at a social function a few months later, a neatly dressed salesman stepped up to the businessman and introduced himself. And he said, you probably don't remember me. I don't know your name, but I never forgot you. You are the man who gave me back my self-respect. I was a beggar selling pencils until you came along and told me I was a businessman. You know, a lot of people have gone further in their life, have done extraordinary things because someone appreciated them, respected them, and honored them. You know, the greatest good we can do for one another is to not just share our wealth, that's not, but to respect them, to appreciate them. How do we use our words? Can I challenge you tonight, number one, to appreciate one another? Use our words to appreciate. Well, what does the Bible tell us? Well, the Bible's been telling us all along that if we are a Christian, if we are followers of Christ, redeemed by his blood, to value one another. Even in sharing the gospel, we see that God, through his Son, appreciated us. Yes, we were sinners. Yes, we were separated from God, but he loved us. He loved us enough to send his Son to die on the cross for our sins, and he was raised from the grave and gives us life. You see, Jesus coming to this world showed that God appreciates us. By his life, as he lived, he showed us how to appreciate one another. Notice how Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 reads, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Notice that the way we live is transformed, changed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice as Paul reminds us that as we have become Christians, we are to be walk, that means daily, living for him, rooted, connected, abiding, and building up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught. And so notice that as we are living the Christian life, God has an expectation for us that we are to live different. And one of those ways is to build up one another, to appreciate one another. And part of that is our thanksgiving, of giving one another thanks and appreciation. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now, think about it. Here in, a month and a half or so, we're going to be celebrating our country Thanksgiving. You know, and it's a wonderful holiday, and I'm glad that we do that. But you know, for the Christian, every day is Thanksgiving. Every day we show appreciation for one another, appreciate and thank God for what he has blessed us with. And you know, this attitude of gratitude is something that needs to be a part of our everyday life. Someone says, well, what if I don't thank one another? What if I don't show thanksgiving? Read with me Romans 1, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21 teaches, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice as we look at this verse, one of the things that shows people rejecting God is they're not thankful. Do you not think we live in a society that's not very thankful? It's not just with God, it's with one another. How many times have we seen people being ungrateful, unkind, unthankful? Well, the quality that comes with being a Christian, of following Jesus Christ, is that we are to show appreciation and thankfulness to one another. Well, how can we do that? So here's the teaching. The scriptures tell us to be thankful, to appreciate one another. So where does the rubber meet the road? Well, guys, let me pick on you for a moment. Guys, tell your wives you appreciate her. Tell her thank you. She hears a lot of negative. Maybe your wife is a stay-at-home wife, and she's working at the house all day. You know what she hears? She hears probably nothing but negative. She turns on the TV, the radio, social media. What do you hear on those things? Not a lot of good out there. And that's all she... And then we come home, the guys come home, and what does she hear? Nothing good. All about how the boss did this or the co-worker didn't do that. And it's a lot of negative. Guys, can I encourage you to appreciate your wives? Tell her thank you. When she makes that nice meal, when she washes your clothes, when she does all those kind things that this almost we just kind of take it for granted, can you say thank you? Tell her that you appreciate her, that you're thankful that she's your wife, that she's a godly woman. Guys, thank your wife. Appreciate, show appreciation to her. Now, wives are going to pick on you. Didn't, you thought I'd leave you out, didn't you? I can't just pick on the guys. Wives, tell your husbands thank you. They work hard. You know, if they're coming home and sharing some negative stuff, guess what? They probably had a hard day. They probably have some difficult times. Can you, wives, work through that negative and look for the good and say thank you? Maybe they've done some yard work, or maybe like we talked about in the lesson this morning, if you were here, finished a project. And can you tell them thank you? Thank you for completing that. Thank you for the... And maybe, just maybe, there's a guy or two that tries to do the laundry. Maybe there's just, but he just doesn't do it right. Can you at least thank him for trying? Thank him for trying. Yeah, I know the socks are pink and the underwear is blue. I know that. It happens. But can you thank him for trying? Show appreciation. Show appreciation. And I realize not all of us are married. There's countless of relationships that you and I encounter with. Some of us work. Some of us are single. Some of us have are with other family members. Some of us are all kinds of the people you surround yourselves with. Can you help them and show them they are valuable? You appreciate them. Thank them for their good. Maybe those church leaders. Maybe those Bible class teachers. Maybe though our elders here. Thank them. Show appreciation. Respect them. Everybody is having a hard time from time to time. Everyone has challenges. Can you just show appreciation? Maybe write them a thank you card. Maybe write them a note. Send them use your words to say thank you. I appreciate you. You're doing a good job. Number one, use your words to appreciate. Number two, a close cousin to appreciation is encouragement. Encourage one another. There are people all the time who tear us down. Am I right? They just tear us down. They look at our clothes. They look at our faith. They look at our place in life. And they just tear us down. Don't be like that. And I'm afraid that that's a message that many Christians need to hear. Don't tear down one another. I've been working, I work with a lot of people. And there's a couple I was working with once, and they stopped going to church. And I asked them, why'd you stop going to church? And they said, well, every church we went to, they tore us down. They talked bad about our family. They were hypocritical. And the list goes on. They're not going to church. You know, our words have power. Our words can draw people to Christ, or they can push them away. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, notice it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Did you hear those words? Paul was talking to Christians. He's talking to people like you, people of faith. And he says, there's something about our talk. It needs to be building up. Don't allow it to be corrupt talk. Use it to build up, to encourage. May we do our best to build one another up. You know why? Part of the reason why we are to gather in an assembly, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us, it's to build one another up. Church, are you getting encouragement when you come together? If not, there's a problem. And it may not be the other, it might be me. It might be me. It might be that I need to go over here and say, you know, I'm glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. You know, I appreciate when you bring your family. I appreciate when you bring the kids. I appreciate when you, what you do. I appreciate that prayer that you prayed. I appreciate the songs you led. Show some encouragement, some appreciation. Notice again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul continues. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so again, we see this attitude, this character of following Christ means I need to be kind to one another. Let's be kind to one another. I can be encouraging by being kind, tender heart, forgiving one another. Remember, God forgave us through Jesus Christ. Church, think about this. How would this congregation be different? How would this be different if we used our words to encourage? How would our families be different? I know living with people have challenges. I know that taking the kids here and there, I mean, we're just moving out of that stage in our life. And we move from, almost every night was an activity with the kids here or there. And now that's past. It's changing for us. But maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're in a phase you're with grandkids. And things can get complicated. Can you show some encouragement? Think about how our families would be different if we had encouraged one another. Our neighborhoods. And when we go to the grocery store, think about if we looked an opportunity to say something encouraging. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you ought to answer each person. Our speech is to be positive, like flavor, like salt. We're to put a good taste in each other's mouth. Maybe you heard the story about the preacher. He was leaving the church, and he was making some final visits to some of the elderly members of the congregation he had kind of grown close to. And so he went to this one lady's widow's house, and there was a bowl of peanuts there, and he's just chomping away. He was just eating, and as he's talking and he's eating, and sure enough, he ate all those peanuts. And he realized it as the visit was about over. And about that time, he apologized. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to eat all your peanuts. She said, that's all right, preacher. They were chocolate-covered peanuts before you got here. You know, sometimes we leave a bad taste in people's mouths. Kind of like those peanuts that had the chocolate sucked off of them. Don't leave a bad taste in people's mouths. The Bible calls us to live different. Remember again, did you hear the verse in Ephesians 4 and verse 29? Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How would our world be different if we applied that verse to our everyday life? How would the church be different? How would our families if we used our words to heal, to help, to encourage? Someone has written a poem, and it goes this way about the power of the tongue. It states, a careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreck a life, a bitter word may hate and steal, a brutal word may smite and kill, a gracious word may smooth the way, a joyous word may light the day, a timely word may lessen stress, a lovely word may heal and bless. Proverbs 12. Verse 18 reads, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. May we be those people that bring healing. Our words can be sharp as a sword thrust, as the proverb says, or it can bring healing. May we be the type of people that bring healing. Preacher and author Aubrey Johnson said, encouragement is the process of inspiring others to live with greater hope and courage. Isn't that what Jesus came to do? To die for our sins and inspire us through the way he lived, to not just talk different, but to live different, to live with hope and encourage others to have that hope. Isn't it no wonder that the gospel is spread through teaching, the use of our words in a positive way, proclaiming the gospel so people can hear, and by hearing, the word of God produces faith in Romans chapter 10. Let's look for ways to encourage. Let's use our words to appreciate and encourage one another. But number three tonight, how else can we use our words? Pray for one another. Pray with one another. Prayer before God does something, several things. One, it shows that we put our trust in our Creator and not ourselves. Number two, it shows and exposes our weaknesses and reveals God's power. And number three, it allows God to be involved in our situation in life. And number four, it shows the power of God to work in our request and the importance of God in our life. You know, I personally believe that there are some things that will not happen unless Christians pray. We've got to be in the business of prayer, not because I say so, not because it's just a wise thing to do, but it's because what God tells us to do. It is what Scripture tells us to do. We are to pray for one another, James 5 and verse 16 tells us. And when we talk about prayer, we need to remember that it is time-consuming, that it is involved something that we sacrifice for. Many of the great people in the Bible and even down through history were known to be prayer people. We might say prayer warriors. They understood that prayer took time. You remember Elijah? Elijah was a man of prayer. James mentions him in James chapter 5, verse 17. He prayed fervently. Daniel prayed three times a day. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Jesus withdrew from his disciples and prayed in Mark 1 and verse 35. Notice what it says. And raising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. Even our Lord, our Savior, sacrificed time, that precious, precious sleep, to go and pray. Jesus understood and set us an example. Prayer is time consuming. Prayer involves sacrifice. You want to use your words in a positive and powerful and godly way? Spend some time in prayer. See, when we pray, we need to realize that we need to believe that we are communicating with God. We got to understand that's how we talk to God. James 1 and verse 6 reminds us that we need to pray with faith and not doubting. Always remember this, church. God hears every prayer. Every prayer we pray. And sometimes he answers no. Sometimes he answers yes. And sometimes he answers, well, maybe. Be patient. Wait. There are sometimes we pray things and we wonder why God didn't answer. Well, maybe it's he did answer and he does answer, but it's not what we wanted. Remember, it's God's will may be done, not my will. And God sees things in a different perspective, and he sees things as what's best for us. There are sometimes when we pray that there are things that we have prayed for in a few years of maybe a decade goes by and we realize, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted it answered. God knows best. But every time we pray, we need to realize there's power in that prayer. Every time we pray, we need to realize that it's being received by an all-powerful, almighty, a creator of heaven and earth. It's like a person aiming and shooting a gun in the woods at its targets. Maybe there's some hunters in here. Can understand that any time that you aim at a target, a deer or whatever game you're shooting at, and you shoot that bullet, you know there's power. Well, what if that bullet that you shot didn't hit its target? That happens. Is that gun still any less powerful? Certainly not. Yeah, you may have not hit that target. You may have not hit that animal, But that bullet was still powerful. You look where maybe it hit. Maybe it lodged in a tree, or maybe it hit in the dirt. There are still marks. There are still remnants of the power that was released. And that's the same way with prayer. When we pray, sometimes it may not hit the target we think it should hit, but that doesn't mean it's any less powerful. When a person prays, we need to realize that they must not doubt, and we need to realize that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, but powerful and working, James tells us. And so we must pray. There is power in prayer, so pray. Pray for everyone. Everyone needs prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and following, Paul is writing to the Colossians. And notice as you look at that text, Paul is asking for prayers from the Colossians. He knows that they are a praying people. They have a reputation of a praying people. And he asks them, will you pray for me? By the way, will you pray for me? And not just for me, but all those who preach. Will you pray for our elders, your elders, and all those who shepherd congregations? Will you pray? Will you pray for our Bible class teachers? They need our prayers. Yes, they need our support. Yes, they need the children. They need the children brought, but pray for our Bible class teacher. And church, will you pray for our parents? Wow, they need our prayers. They need our support. They're raising children in a very different world than what we were raised in. They need a prayer. And will you pray for our leaders of our nation? Prayer. But I don't like the president. I don't like those who are running for president. But I don't like, I didn't ask if you liked them. I'm not asking about your politics. I'm not asking about your belief, your stance. I'm not, pray for them. Pray for our nation. Our nation needs God. Everyone needs prayer. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says it this way. First of all, then I urge the supplication and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. There is power in prayer. And the Bible tells us we are to pray for everyone. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for every church member, everyone in the community. God is real. God is alive. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You want to use your words. You want to be a powerful person in this day and time. Humble yourselves in prayer and ask God to work in your life. Ask God to work in the lives of our loved ones. Ask God's protection and power in our children and our families. And in the church, use your words to pray. Finally, as we close tonight, may we use our words to show appreciation. May we use our words to show encouragement. May we use our words to pray. Isn't that what God did through Jesus Christ? Isn't that what God did by sending his son to this world? At the beginning of each of the gospels, we see Jesus beginning his ministry. He preached. He used his words. In the gospels, we read Jesus showing appreciation to those and encouraging those. And we see Jesus using his words to help bring healing to people's lives. Now, we may not have that power, may not have that ability, that miraculous that Jesus did and he gave to the apostles, but we could use our words to be a blessing, to heal in a lot of ways that Jesus did. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus modeled in this life how to live, even how to die. And it's because of his resurrection, he gives us life and forgiveness of sins. Yes, our words are powerful, but they are connected to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. God expects us to live and talk a different way. Can I challenge you tonight to use your words in a positive way? See, you're going to use your words. You're going to use your words, and you're going to talk, and you're going to text, and you're going to use social media. You're going to interact with your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family. But as you do that, can I encourage you to show appreciation, encouragement, and pray? Tonight, as we think about this message, as we think about why we're here tonight, it's about and connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason that we're here. And so if you are not a Christian, we want to invite you to obey the gospel by submitting your life to Him through confessing Jesus as Lord, repenting of your sins, and putting Him on a baptism. And maybe if you've done that, but you fall away, you need prayers, we'll pray with you. We will actually put this lesson into practice, and we will pray with you and for you and show how encouraging it can be to pray for one another. If you have a need, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Five, six, one, first two and last verse. The voice of the Savior says, come. The cross where He died is in sight. Here now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voice of the Father implores from mercy's most wonderful height. His love in that call He outpours. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Oh, who to Himself will be true? Of all whom the voices invite, who answer, my brother, do you? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
Please be seated.
Sing one more song, then we'll have announcements. Number 72. I want to thank Mark for coming, his family, and having a real good lesson. We appreciate him. 72, first and last.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know I know eternal life He gives. I know.
Ernie.
Remember to get a bulletin. A lot of information in there. I'll just hit a couple of the highlights. Remember, all were sick. As Brother Mark said, pray. Pray for them. Lady Inspiration Day coming up on the 19th. Also, the sign-up sheets are back there in the back in the foyer. If you're able to sign up to do something for Ladies Day, please do that. And also, we have a thank you card here. We want to thank everyone for all the prayers, calls, texts, checking on Tom's hip surgery. We are so blessed to have so many caring friends in the Lord's church. Here again, words again. Isn't that right, Mark? Whoever has a closing prayer.
Let's pray, please. Dear God, we're bowed in your presence. We want to thank you for this hour that you've given to us in our lives, more so to be here to hear God's word, your word delivered by Mark. Father, we use our words every day. We need to be challenged to be aware how important it is. And Father, the challenge presented to encourage, to uplift people. We need to be honest with people, and if need be, even to pray for forgiveness. But Father, we pray for the effort being made in your name here in this congregation. And Father, those that are maybe still striving with challenges and problems, that our brothers and sisters can assist and reach out. And Father, this congregation can grow and be strengthened, but more so just in our individual lives, may we be praying more, studying more, fellowshipping more, because Father, this life you've given to us, we can enjoy, but it's just a vapor when we consider the span of time. We're only here for a short time. But Father, we pray that our life will be lived in such a way that heaven will be our eternal reward. And that's what we want to live every day for. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the lesson. Just be with us, keep us safe now as we drive back to our places of abode. Bless us, continue to be with the meeting tomorrow and Tuesday evening. Bless this congregation. We ask this truly through your Son's name as we say amen.